My name is Ted Thompson. I know a lot of you here, and I've met a bunch of you too. Roxanne, my wife, is in school today. She's kind of overwhelmed with end of the year school responsibilities and couldn't be here, but she sends her love. Each of us here shares the same sense of sadness and loss. To Robin, Kevin's devoted wife, and to his children and grandchildren, sisters, and his extended family, we can only be here to help you as much as our love for you and for Kevin can help. Likewise, Kevin's friends who could not be here today have their hearts with you and their arms wrapped around you. I can't speak for anyone else today. I can only speak for me. But perhaps what I have to say and remember about Kevin will help more than just me. The qualities I mentioned you will recognize, and I take the opportunity to shine a light on your own fond memories, because that's what you should be doing today. The stories I tell you, you may have already heard, for Kevin loved to tell stories, and as far as I could tell, he never made them up. At least until the end, when I heard he claimed he was milking crickets. Kevin and I met as boys. I was in desperate need of friends. I was about 16 years old and had met him in school, and he told me where he lived, so I decided to hitchhike to his house. That's how I got around in those days. So I got to the house on 3rd Street in Youngsville and walked up to the porch, and there's Kevin and Gordon Rickles, and they're doing their best to stir up some high explosives. I said, these are my kind of guys. What they call it was mercury fulminate, and fortunately they weren't successful. That first day we began to learn how much we enjoyed laughing together and that we laughed at the same things. That first day we began growing a friendship that never failed or faltered in 40 years. And that first day, we never, either of us, lost our fascination or delight for things that go boom. Neither did the laughter ever stop, all the way to the end. Kevin was still chuckling and making jokes the last time we spoke. I know that doesn't surprise you or anyone that knows him. On April Fool's Day, Kevin kept asking Robin, did you call Ted yet? Did you call Ted? Why? It's April Fool's Day, he said. Tell him I died. I'm grateful she didn't do that. If Kevin would have heard me groan when Robin told the story, he would have laughed all the more. He never quit grinning. Not at you, not at me, not at any of us. Almost literally, Kevin died laughing. It is the best any of us could hope for ourselves or for anyone we love. As much as he became the man I loved all my life, for as long as he lived, Kevin never quit being the boy I first met. We were Porthos and Aramis. We were Sawyer and Finn. Kevin was the brother I always had. And like any good brother, he was never above hoodwinking me any chance he got. We were camping on the White River one time, just me and Kevin, which is a big old wide river in North Arkansas, and drinking a bottle of tequila and digging in the dirt with our pocket knives, we discovered that there's some earthworms down there. So since most of the tequila was gone, we thought it would be a good idea. I said I would eat one of those worms if he would. So I ate my worm, and then Kevin reneged. Like a good brother should. Well, the next morning I got up and volunteered to cook breakfast, and I scrambled his egg separate from mine. And as he was about to take the last big bite, I told him, hey, you ate your worm, you fulfilled your obligation. And if you know Kevin, you know exactly what he did. He grinned, he shrugged, and he ate that last big bite of eggs with a relish and enjoyment that was intended purely to deny me my satisfaction. He was never, ever above doing that either. We could come to Kevin with our good news, and he'd embrace our joy as if it were his own. We could run to Kevin with our bad news, and he'd likewise share our sorrows. But he might also throw in a reality check that we may not have welcomed, but we usually needed. Forever reasonable and level-headed, Kevin brought laughter to our conversations, calm to our storms, and pointed logic to our difficulties, and always with true care, and always with unwavering friendship. Kevin was our mechanic, our computer whiz, our encyclopedia of useful and sometimes useless knowledge. Mr. Goodwrench, Bill Gates, and MacGyver rolled into one. He was a jack of all trades and master of anything he put his mind to. He had knowledge and he used it. He had experience and he shared it. He had generosity, and he gave it. Kevin challenged us, he made us think, and he always kept us on our toes. Kevin engaged us. The scars on Kevin's right hand are an illustration like an expressionistic painting of a busy life. This is the hand that turned a wrench to make a living or to help a friend. You know what I mean. This is the hand that raised a glass to celebrate anything or nothing. This is the hand that stroked the heads of children and grandchildren. And this is the hand that really, truly, actually shook the hand of Jimi Hendrix. I was there. Christy, you were there. along with Roxanne, Gordon, and Betty. And those of you who weren't there, I know you heard the story. If Kevin was talking to us now in his reasonable, logical, sometimes stoic way, I think he might have said it's okay to go ahead and grieve if we need to, because that is part of the process we must go through when we say goodbye. I think he might have said to go ahead and miss him, because he always did want to be important to us and to be loved by us, and he made that forever easy. But I think if he was speaking to you and me today, and he is, he'd then ask us to move on as quickly as we can from grief and remember him without enduring sorrow, but with a grin whenever possible. To remember him for the strength of his opinions, whether we agreed with him or not. To remember him for his natural intelligence and essential wisdom. To remember him for his selfless generosity. To remember him for the laughter he usually brought with him that stayed long after he had left. And especially to remember him for how much he loved us. When he gave us something, he gave it without regret or expectation. And when he left us wondering why and what now. In his poem about death, the poet and philosopher Khalil Gibran said, "You would know the secret of death, but how shall you find it unless you seek it in the heart of life? If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide unto the body of life, for life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. What is it to cease breathing, but to free the breath from its restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek God, unencumbered? And what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and melt into the sun? Only when you drink from the river of silence, then shall you indeed sing. Only when you have reached the mountaintop, then shall you begin to climb. And only when the earth claims your limbs, then shall you truly dance." We are here to say goodbye, Kevin, or at least to say so long. There's not one of us who would have missed the amazing, funny, generous, loving, full-hearted dance you shared with us. We regretfully allow you to melt into the sun, but never from our hearts and minds. It was our great fortune to have known you. I have one more thing to say directly to Kevin, and I can say it because Kevin himself would love it. I'll share the observation with you too, because it's an amusing reality none of us can escape. Kevin, and you, and me, all of us, be aware. In the end, the worm always gets the last laugh.
Hi. There are a few of you that I remember from growing up with Kevin and my brother Steve. I'm Norma Melanson, Steve's younger sister. And as I told Steve when I asked if I could please come with him today, was that most of the boys that Steve grew up with, I was 3.5 years younger, 2.5 years younger than Mike. Most of them I had a crush on because, of course, you know, those teenage years, the older brothers, they had the coolest friends. They had the most handsome friends. They had the neatest friends. And I have a lot of memories of a lot of my brother's friends. But the most poignant for Kevin is the Canterbury Tales play that they put on at Como. And while I do remember some of the play, the part that reflected Kevin the most was he played a friar. And I remember waiting to see my brother come on the stage and all of his friends and the ones I knew and recognized. When Kevin walked out, playing the friar, and he stood.
So pious. And I went, not. Because they were all so kanai. And this was, he was acting a part. And he played it so well because he made everyone in the audience believe he was so there. But he was kanai, along with all the brothers' friends. And they gave me lessons on what to do and what not to do. So I do want to thank Kevin and y'all for being so sweet to let me tell that story. Because that is my most vivid memory of Kevin, being pious.
My friends tried to teach my sister the same thing.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no one else who would like to get up and speak, we're going to go ahead and say that this does conclude our services here at the funeral home for Mr. Kevin. I'm going to ask that anyone who would like to do their final pass by and pay their final respects, if we would start from the back, please stand up, come by my right, pass by the casket, and go out the doors here to my left, and then we'll give the family their time to spend with Mr. Kevin before we continue with everything else. So if you would please stand up in the back and start coming forward.
Miss Tammy, she looks fine.